subject here for a moment to ask you a little bit about. You said that you, since you got the, we call it grandfathering, I think that's what you call it, the grandfathering of your license there. Your commercial license you had, did that involve CW? Did you have to know the CW in order to get that commercial license that you had before you retired, Don? Or did you have to learn that afterwards to stay around long, because it's going to give us trouble? It's huge here in St. Louis this morning.
Well, I've been retired since 72, and I was with General Electric all my working time and was up to date for a long period of time on questions like you asked, but I'm a complete loss right now, except to say it's familiar, and I had to run it down. I don't know who I'd ask right now. I think probably I'd go to one of the, major suppliers, for instance, AES or somebody like that. Just ask the question. In fact, I get the opportunity, I'm going to ask the question just for my own satisfaction, but I hope you do get the answer. By the way, I think the reason I recognized your call right away was just the fact that you have been in the antenna business, and I worked several stations that are using your antenna, and of course, knowing how beautifully it works and all of that, so well, maybe you're not in the logbook in the dim and distant past, but I'll bet you are. My whole time as far as amateur radio goes is spent this way, rag-chilling with old friends primarily around the globe and making new friends, and especially in your direction. Not that the antenna is fixed, but it's been always a desire of mine that I never accomplished, and that was to get to New Zealand and Australia, and I just never made it. New Zealand, Australia, and Tasmania. Well, not when I say Australia, of course, I mean Tasmania. And as you know, it's getting kind of late in the morning, and people are still holding up beautifully. I smile. For years and years and years, you get a big kick out of getting good reports from people around the world. But the good reports come from the ones that have got the darn hot antennas. It makes a difference if your friends have got big antennas and lots of gain and so on. I was mobile almost exclusively for a few years. But I worked at DX station or something mobile. It usually was a good antenna at that end. That was, you very quickly found it out. It wasn't how good a job you'd done at your end. It was how good a job was being done at the other end. Enough on that. Anyway, it's fun. I hope you find out what you're looking for. And by the way, I don't know whether you got my call down correctly or not. It's William. Let's see. I better give this to... give this to St. Louis. By the way, you told me how big the boom was in here, and I know what I wanted to ask. Ray, on that standard long periodic that you're selling, what is the boom like? I'm curious. Go ahead. So what I was thinking about, and how nice it is to have something like that, but I'm on a small lot here at a highly respected neck of the woods, and happy to be very inconspicuous as long as my friends can still hear me. I think you run into that, I'm sure, a lot of the time, and there's not a heck of a lot you can do about it if you're going to keep peace with your neighbors. Over to you, Frank.
Well, thank heavens this TS-940S has got a good, effective noise blanker. I can't imagine where all the extraneous noises come from in this area. I'm pretty well isolated. The distance between the neighbors and myself is fairly large. But, boy, there's a racket being generated somewhere in the area here that's running about 10 to 15 dB over S9. But the noise blanker number one, takes it out very nicely. There isn't a trace of it with the blanker engaged. So I've been able to copy everybody's solid. But that really surprises me. I've lived here 4 years now, 4 years this month. And before I bought the ground, the first thing I did was camp out here with a receiver and listen for about 3-4 hours trying to determine if it was a quiet location. And it certainly was when I made the test. So I was very shocked when the first noises began to show up. They're not on all the time, intermittent in nature, come and go. But where in the world something of this magnitude could be coming from, I have no idea. Hopefully it'll go away, but I'm having no trouble copying everybody with the noise blanker engaged. Well, very interesting on your commercial building of antennas, Ray. I built antennas for a while also, but that was for the U.S. Navy. I worked in assigned to a radio installation team, and our last project was in Yokosuka, Japan, where we built a large communication center. And I guess the best antennas we built there were two rhombics terminating right on the edge of Tokyo Bay. I hope I'm covering everything here. If I've missed any questions or comments from anybody, why, please jog my memory. So, the motorhome would be that's exactly the way I'd like to travel. And you already experienced that, so you know how nice they are. They're a bit big. They're a bit big to drive and park and all that kind of thing, but it certainly makes up for it in the convenience that you get otherwise. So, I'm going to end this hour conversation and
20 days long, 20 days in duration. Then when I came back after having started the beam, called him a liar, he admitted his son had helped him as well. Hi.
And because I'm in a lot of trouble with this QRM.
Be much longer. I'm going to have to close a bit early. I guess I went too far yesterday. I didn't get to the breakfast table until about 14:05, and it was a bit upsetting to Virginia, so I don't want to do that again. She's very understanding and patient with me with amateur radio, but I guess I went a step too far yesterday. So I think I better say 70 trees to both you and Ray and let you carry on. And Frank, our chances are I'll be on again tomorrow evening, and we can say hello again. In the meantime, give my best to Pat. Ray, a pleasure to say hello to you. Sounds like you have a fine line of antennas and towers there. So look forward to chatting with you about antennas sometime in the near future.
Many, many years ago, so I'm one of those people who tries quite hard to say cans or cans instead of cairns, or charter towers instead of the way it would appear to me if it were spelled out. And we found people saying the Alice instead of Alice Springs. So I try in some mumbling way to work at that. When we were in Brisbane, we visited this woman and her husband, so we were there for 4 days. And as a result, heard the proper pronunciation many, many times. And I guess the last comment on that will be that for someone in the Boston area, for me to make try to work with an odd pronunciation is rather silly. We who, at least in this country, are famous for mispronouncing English. On Sir Joe, well, yeah, we had a lot of fun reading about him and listening about him. I wonder if you can tell me where he is now. Last I knew, a lot of his cronies were gonna spend some time in the local lockup. It appeared that things were pretty tough, but he obviously was a character. And I did get stopped twice by the Queensland Constabulary. Both times they were courteous and helpful and issued me a warning. And both times, fortunately, I was only a few kilometers over the 100-kilometer level. I go to court a lot, Frank.
and often try cases. So with those constables, they and I, we had interesting discussions on the difference of the court system and how one gets one's case before a judge in Australia as opposed to the U.S. And they figured they had a colleague and let me go.
So back to you.
And I should begin to wrap it up pretty soon because I have to take them to school. Just nice and easy to copy you. On the on my QTH, well, for your son's benefit, it is exactly 5 miles north of the starting line of the Boston Marathon. The town is Southborough. It is, for your purposes, and I did hear you talking about the other map, at the intersection of Route 9 and 495. That's the most useful way to figure the location. Route 9, which runs east from the city of Boston, west to the New York State border, and 495, which is a circumferential highway running in a roughly 25-mile radius from downtown Boston. So we're about 25 miles directly west. The town is Southborough. And Hopkinton, which is about 4 or 5 miles south, is the starting point of the Boston Marathon. My kids, as I said, baseball and soccer. Soccer is a fall sport here. Baseball, of course, is the spring sport. And he's the oldest one is a wrestler, which I never did as a kid. And frankly, admire his courage. It seems to me to be, I would think, one of the most difficult of all competitions. To be all alone on that mat with a bunch of people standing and looking at you. I mean, it's not. It's easy to hide in a team sport, particularly with a large number of players. When he's out there alone on that map, there is no hiding, and one either wins or loses. And I find that something I'm pleased to see in a 15-year-old because I know how hard much of their competition is. And yes, we get the same business with the phone calls, and it's from the same source. I guess the two of us will merely hold our breath, our collective breath, and hope that that we get through the next few years without any kind of major difficulty. Fine on your story with the police in L.A. Yeah, I suspect they probably thought you were trying to take some pictures of the car so that you could originally so that you could come up with some kind of new device for successfully running drugs or something. But generally, most of them are pretty good. I sure enjoy these guys all over the world. And yes, I am going. And good to talk to you this morning. And I always enjoyed it. But I've got to get them up and get them off to school and get me off to court. So 7-3, Frank, and say hello to your kids. And maybe I'll hear you again in the morning. I think I've heard you before on here about this time of day. Always a good signal, as I remember. So why don't you wrap it up and I'll get some food and head out. Thanks again. 7-3.
Head open with a machete, and they tortured them before they killed them. Oh, it was a horrible story. The inspectors that went down there from the state said they'd seen a lot of things happen in their lifetime, but never anything so gruesome as this grave of bodies that they uncovered on Monday. And they're still looking around this farm. They think they may find a lot more bodies, but they're all drug related. Now, the boy, they claim, was not an addict, but you never know for sure. But we have a program over here, the 10 Most Wanted. It's an FBI, it's a series of programs that they display on TV on Sunday evenings to try to get the word about out around the country on um, let me think. I don't want to put it. Criminals at large, they try to depict their crimes and on TV and give you a description of the person, and they've picked up a lot of people with tips. They have 800 number telephone calls, which an 800 number in this country, you do not have to pay any toll, and you can make a report. And anyway, on the program a couple of weeks ago, they had a college boy that was over the border into Mexico with his friends, and they were heading back. And this one boy broke away from his team of friends and said, "I'll catch up to you." And he went over in the shadows to talk to a man, and he never was seen again. And I kind of think it was that party that they found in the grave, because it happened down in that part of the country. So it's a shame that drugs are running rampant, but are you having the similar problems down there in New Zealand, or have you been able to stay away from all this problem? Over.
That's a pretty bizarre business, Alex. It's terrible business, isn't it? Yes. Now, we have the same problem, but not on such a scale as you and would have it over there. The one that the most prevalent here is the cannabis or marijuana. That seems to be the one. But as yet, they haven't have too much of the harder ones. Up in Auckland, in the larger centres, there are some, but it's for every day in the courtroom, there's always a few cases. As I said, our population in this town isn't so terribly big, but there's usually seven or eight every court day that come up on charges of cultivating or use. But I don't know what's going to happen. It's becoming a big problem, and I don't think we want to go as drastic as what they do in Singapore, but obviously it seems to be working anyway over there. I think that possibly our generation are getting a little soft, Howard. I'm not a believer in the way things are going as regards punishment, Howard, over.
I think we're all of the same opinion on that score. It seems like they get caught, you get a pusher, he gets caught, and they put a $2 million, not a fine, but boy, you get the words I want to use. Bail. They want to put a $2 million bail on a guy, and he sticks his hand down his pocket, pulls out $2 million in cash, lays it on the table, and that's the last they see of him, because he just jumps bail. He don't care if it costs him $2 million, because he's got another $10 million to make 5 minutes later. What do they do in Singapore? You mentioned you don't think things should be as drastic as they are in Singapore, over?
Roger, yeah, they shoot them. They shoot them, Howard.
Well, I think that's giving them a break. When they sell drugs and they ruin people's lives and everything else with it, I think they ought to be a little more drastic than that. Give them a little punishment before they shoot them, over?
Roger, yes, it's... I was talking to a chap that just come back from there not long ago, and he said that it's pretty clean. You can walk down the streets there if you like, not in the real bad area, but in the normal run-of-the-mill streets, you can walk down there, or a woman can walk down the streets, and there's no problems whatsoever. There's no litter. You'll find $1,000 if you drop a cigarette butt or anything like that. And if you're caught with drugs, the penalty is death, it certainly made a big difference. And I think that in the Malaysian state, it's a similar punishment. There has been two New Zealanders been in jail over there for some time, and they were caught, and they have been sentenced to, one's been sentenced to death, and the other one's been sentenced to, I think it's about 20 years imprisonment. But on the airports and all the signs when you go in, there's big, big displays of signs that say that the penalty for drug offences is death, and it's well displayed. So anybody that does it is, knows the penalty, so they really haven't got any kick coming, I don't think, but they say that it's making a big difference in Singapore anyway, how it's
better from there. Oh, the bridge party, the hen party sounds real good upstairs. You're very wise to get out of the way, I'm sure of that. We've got one coming up here in 2.5 weeks' time. We've got a big wedding coming up at the house here. My son's getting married. It's the first one in the family to get married, so we've got that to look forward to. Yeah, Clifford sounds very nice there, and lucky out in the 50 years on the air. I've been on the air 33 years. And my first call sign was Victor Romeo 2, Delta Delta, in the Fiji Islands. This was where I started off. And where I started off, I was in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force for 27 years. And we used to operate Sunderland Flying Force up in Fiji in those days. And that was where I first started off in amateur radio, Gene.
Oh, fine, Jack. 100%. I'll tell you. Those hills aren't hurting you tonight, as I told you before, and this is no exaggeration. You have the strongest signal that I've heard, and the clearest and best signal that I've heard out of the VKZL lands, and I've been around here about an hour now. Very, very nice signal. And those years we've enjoyed working VKs and ZLs, even back in the old AM days, and which was quite a thing to do in the 30s, too. To get that kind of DX on phone. But we've had so many nice contacts with the down under stations, and they always seem to have nice QSOs instead of, I called a station today, I can't recall where he was located, but I called him and he says 5'9", that's all I got out of him. I could care less whether I'm 5'9" or whatever. And I said, well, I gave him his report, and that was it. Because I thought, well, if you want to give me a report like that, I'll give you one. And that was the end of the QSO. That's ridiculous, in my opinion, this day and age. We have, under the right conditions and a decent antenna, decent, even 100 watts or whatever, why, it's not any trick to work DX if you want to work at it. And... beside, propagation determines your signal strength more than anything else, in my opinion. I talked to a VK tonight that was using 70 watts. He was just boiling in here. So, how'd I get on this subject? I didn't mean to get on my soapbox, but these just to get a report. And of course, I'm death against. I won't say against anybody to do their own thing, but I can't see all these contests where you got 55 stations all calling the same guy in the. And they just, it's unbelievable. I can't see much fun in that. To talk to you directly and to exchange ideas and thoughts, why, that's fine. Incidentally, very interested in your terrain, but golly, that bluff sure is not hurting you tonight, but I can understand what you're saying when you're looking at it, and you say, well, I'm beaming into that hill, and there you are. We're fortunately way up in the clear. Laramie did get a lot of publicity. They had the man from Laramie. They had the Laramie TV show. And a lot of things like that, and books and stories, and I've only lived in this area, in Laramie, for 5 years, but I did live in Wyoming for 15 years in another part of the state, and there's a great deal of history out here that's most fascinating, but it all revolves around the westerns, I think, pictured better than anything. Won't hold any longer, Jack. I certainly appreciate you coming back. And once again, what a nice signal, and a pleasure to talk to you there at Christchurch, or near Christchurch, and interested in the topography of your location. That must be something. It is 19 degrees here right now, 19 degrees Fahrenheit. Let's see what it is centigrade. It's minus 7 degrees centigrade, I see. I push a little button here, it gives me both readings. -7 degrees centigrade, and the wind's blowing pretty strong, which is not unusual.
That's the very, very coldest it ever gets here, and that's only on a few days of the year when it gets down that cold here, fortunately. We get very little snow down here on the plain. Tons of nut in the mountains. The whole of the South Island is a huge ridge of mountains runs right down through the center. And the country is predominantly mountainous throughout the whole of New Zealand, of course. The same in the North Island, a great big mountainous plateau right up through there. But this ridge runs right down through the center here. It goes up to over 12,000 feet and runs from the very northern tip to the southern tip of the South Island. There's a very narrow plain on the west coast and a very broad plain on the east coast. The rainfall variation is tremendous. We get 25 inches a year over here. You get 125 on the other coast and up to 300 up in the mountains. So we've got a good watershed up there, as you can imagine. And climate is fairly quiet, really, particularly here. As you get farther south, it gets quite a bit cooler, of course, and also a bit wetter, too. Yeah, okay, on the westerns too. Yeah, well, when I was a young lad, I used to read a tremendous number of westerns. That was, I've always been a very avid reader, and I used to read a lot of westerns in those days. I don't think I could even be bothered to read one now. Tastes have changed, do I? as a matter of fact, I'm just busy reading a Wilbur Smith book. Things like that are the more the norm things nowadays. But oh well. As long as you enjoy the amateur radio, that's all that really matters. I like a good rag chew like yourself. I've never been one for these long goodbye QSOs, that's for sure. So, nice meeting up with you, Gene. Hope we'll catch up again one of these days. It's my pleasure.
Fine, Jack. 100% all the way. What a terrific translation. I turned the gain up so the girls upstairs could maybe hear you. By the way, we do have a new TS-940S here, a couple weeks old, and a linear is a old Heathkit SB220 at a half power and a three-element gain. I guess maybe I told you that, but it is at the end of the QSO. That's the way I usually do. I usually get my name at the last translation. That's about the way I operate. Anyway, good night to you. And of all of the places in the world that I think I'd like to visit would be New Zealand, and my wife feels the same way. So maybe we'll be there one of these days. I'd love to see your country. And it always sort of fascinated me because of the variations between the high country and the water's edge and the South Island, North Island. I should like to see New Zealand very much. So that would be number one on our agenda, Jack. Good night. Thanks very much for coming back to our show.
They're very kind on the sun. And when I copied WWV today, I thought I had not heard the alpha index correctly, because you know in the past, 25 or 30 would be an enormous number for the alpha index, and the K index, is even smaller than that. But they gave an alpha index today of 175, and we're speaking about a big proton storm striking the Earth, and that's been the big reason for the disruption in the magnetic field. And I didn't also get your handle. I guess you got my name, Frank, and if you'll give it to me, I'll write it in the log here. I'm using a 24-element array, which is 63 meters high, and I have a color picture postcard of the antenna. I'll send it out to you if you're okay on the call, but... Tony, it's a tower that's about 40-some-odd meters high, four-legged latticework tower, and then there's a super sky needle going up another 35 meters from there, and it's like a tremendous mast, and it rotates, and at the very top there's a boom that holds two Yagis, one at each end. The Yagis are 20 meters apart, collinear. In other words, the two six-element Yagis are on the same level above ground, but separated boom to boom by 20 meters. So it makes a 12-element collinear array at 63 meters above the ground. Then you come down, 21 meters down, and there's another big crossbow with two more Yagis, the same thing.
another 12 elements there. So it makes a sort of a square array. If you're looking at the end of the bulbs, you'd be like at the four corners of a square. And there's, of course, the upper layer and the lower layer. Now I have, you come down 21 more meters and there's still another pair, but they're not connected in electrically yet. It'll be 36 elements when it's completed. So right now I'm using the upper and the middle bays combined for a 24 element rotary array. This whole thing is freestanding with no guy wires. Top is 63 meters up. I'm glad you should, Tony. The reason for the third bays is so that they can be connected in different combinations to raise and lower the angle of radiation. So for instance, I can use the upper bay alone, the middle bay alone, or the bottom bay alone, or the upper and the middle and the lower, the middle and the upper, or the upper and the lower, all those different combinations, which I will do depending on what I find on the incoming angle. But when you get this, if you look at it very carefully, you can see the RGAU feed lines. If you have good sharp eyes, you can see it without a magnifying glass. But I find it helpful to put a magnifying glass on it, and then you can see them very clearly. It's a very sharp picture made with a good camera, and it's in full color. So I hope you enjoy it, Tony. I'll shoot it out to you tomorrow. Your signal is building up. My goodness, you must be about 20, 30 dB over S9 if I turn the antenna around. My problem is that the potentiometer that gives the feedback for direction has worn out. And they're out of production. I'm having a trouble getting another one. So at night, I generally don't turn the antenna. I just leave it wherever it is and work whatever I can hear. Tony, I'm sure there'll be a lot of guys standing by to work that fine signal of yours. It's building up all the time here in California. I do thank you for the very nice QSO, and I'll also look for you on 15 if you work that band. Good evening to you from California, and I hope that when the big magnetic storm over, that the bands will be just in splendid condition. I'm sure they will be. All the statisticians and the smart boys and so forth said that we could not have three dry years in a row, because that would violate the principles of statistical record keeping. It was unusual to have two of them, very unusual to have two of them in a row, but three would be virtually impossible. Well, the virtually impossible is happening. We're getting our third drought year coming up, and right now we should be off the pumps and basking in the rainfall, so to speak, when the ground all loaded up with the ground is very dry. My son has been running the deep well pumps continuously the last 2 months to bring the moisture level up on all of the orchards here. We've added to the farm, Peter. We've added to the farm. We now have one square mile. That's about 700. It's a little over a square mile. It's 720 acres, 640 being a square mile. And it's about 3 kilometers on the side. So it's about a 12-kilometer walk around the farm here. We're harvesting something every month of the year. At the moment, we're harvesting navel oranges, Peter. So I hope you and your lovely wife are enjoying life out there in the Kalahari. I saw a crazy picture about 2 years ago that I almost laughed my sides out. It was a wonderful picture. It was about your part of the world. I'm sure other fellows have told you about it. The name of the picture was called Gods Must Be Crazy. But we got to see some of that. The wonderful thing about the picture, and I thought of you all through the picture, was that we got to see what the countryside looked like in the forested part of the Kalahari there. It was apparently filmed somewhat near where your ranch is.
Down there working with a company down in the Bay Area, down in Mountain View. And so I've been traveling down there quite a bit. Haven't been down there for the last 3 weeks, but prior to that, I was down there about once a week for the last 6 months. So I got to be reasonably familiar with the San Francisco area, at least down in the Mountain View, San Jose area. But the company was visiting us. Matter of fact, the company I visited was right next to LS-8 Air Force Base. Do you know where that is?
Took in the Smithsonian and as much as we could see, quite frankly. But
Tex-Mex, wasn't it? I got it that time about the about all the rain. Okay, we know, but we're getting straightened out on all that. You know, I heard the south of there, you know, south of there, they're awfully dry down around the Sydney area, you know, down in the, you know, New South Wales, and on down there, and down in that area, Victoria. But I heard them complaining about the drought, and that's sort of what goes on here in the States frequently. Everybody gets, just about everybody gets too much rain, and then there'll be a few that that won't get any. Oh, well. I guess maybe what we need to do is have a house on wheels where it can move, I guess, around. 73, I'd look for you again, Tex. Good luck. Yeah, we're running a kilowatt here and a three-element beam, and that helps hold the signal up enough there that we can be heard most of the time when the band's open.
Okay, I have a schedule with Frank this afternoon. I will tell him that you received the photographs. I'm sure he will be pleased to know that. And yes, it's a very nice location he has. I have visited there when the house was just finished, and the beam was not up. Only 20 feet of the tower. Excuse me. Only 20 feet of the tower was up at that time. The beam was not up, and I could climb to the top of that tower, though, at 20 feet and see the horizon. It's really a beautiful location. So, 73, and good luck to you. A very good evening, and of course, again, Happy New Year, Dara. 58, you're holding 58 very steady, but like you say, conditions aren't that good this morning. Is the frequency occupied? Is the frequency occupied? Very fine, Hugo, and very pleased to say good morning to you from San Diego, California. San Diego, here in the southwest corner of the United States, beaming over the south pole, or beaming over the long path into your part of the world. Thank you for that nice report. You're 5 and 9 also, 59. Very excellent signal, and radio conditions appear to be quite good between us. Very excellent between us. I don't know, I just came on the band a few moments ago, tuned around, but I do hear a lot of Europeans coming through over the long path. So apparently we're in for a nice morning of it here, a nice evening over there in your part of the world. Well, I'm running about 800 watts of output power to a single 3500Z. 800 watts output to a stacked array 5 over 5. Well, that's the story here. You go. My name is Dale, Denmark, America, London, England. Denmark, America, London, England, Dale. I'll not keep you. I wish you a happy new year. And we'll reply to the other station who called me, the 4 Bravo, Mexico. So back to you for your final transmission.
Bye. 59 plus, you're running about 5 decibels over 9. Just a lovely signal. You're near San Diego, California. Near San Diego, we're about 70 miles north of the Mexican border. About 70 miles north of the Mexican border. And just a very, very nice opening this morning on 20 meters. And it appears to be in quite good shape. With your signals at 5 and 9 plus 5 decibels. Well, you've been listening, so I'll not go into any further detail with you. As you know, I'm running about 800 watts of output power to a single 3500 Zulu, single-ended tube, and I'm also using a stacked array. 5 over 5, the top antenna is at 110 feet, and the bottom antenna is at 50 feet, both fed in phase. So that's the story. Lovely day here. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be nice. It was very, very cold last night to San Diego. We got down to freezing. Freezing weather. And that is very rare here in San Diego. It happens once a year, maybe for 2 or 3 days each year, and that's it.
Okay. I give it back to you.
All of this for 1989.
Very strong. And actually, my estimator doesn't show two high reports. The name is Verna. Whiskey Echo Romeo, NC Echo Romeo. And the QDH is near Cologne. Near Cologne. And I'm just trying my first QSOs with my new power amplifier. That is a Sugar Baker 1000 by Eastgate. And the antennas are three of them in tri-band on the low power.
Hey, Werner. Very pleased to work you there near Cologne. And you're 5 and 9, 59. A lovely signal. Your new amplifier working well along with the three-element tri-bander over the long path. Absolutely excellent. Very, very fine radio conditions this morning. Oh, it's a pleasure to hear all of Europe coming through so well.
Meaning the long path and listening for a call.
On your signal, old man.
Sometimes, if they have no exciting parties to go to, they come and see Dad. But if they got something else that's hot and heavy, well, I don't see them, of course. But we always get together at New Year's Day. Okay.